The world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want to do. On my way back home, that hit me. If I'm in the best place possible right now, it means I can sacrifice money to go into business, and I was going to be the best employee ever.
Would you say that you need to be educated to run a business?
You don't need what people call education, which is going to the classroom. You need the principles of education. You must read, consistent improvement, and consistent learning. And you must always have people that you can learn from. Without those principles apply in everything. We don't personally know enough people who've achieved. And so even when we are winning, we don't know we are winning because we've never seen those who've won in the process. And sometimes that's why we end up quitting and on the right track.
Anje.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Really?
It's been a while.
The back and forth. I'm really excited to have you here on the show because today we are talking about something that a lot of South Africans hold close to their hearts, which is ikota. And you've managed to turn that into a profitable business, and which is what intrigues me, because in Khulele Lokshin, there's a lot of kota places everywhere. And the fact that you've turned it into a very profitable business, it's something to commend. What makes a perfect kota, according to your own opinion?
I think what makes the perfect kota is the love that the person who makes it puts into it, because you have to love it, because when you eat it, you must be able to put yourself in the place of the eater, the customer. And then you must ask yourself, how are they going to feel when they eat this?
Yeah, I think I agree with that, because with me, I think a perfect bread.
Yeah.
It must be soft.
It must be.
And if you mess up your ration as well, I'm like, I'm done.
There's times at the shop, like maybe somebody just took a picture.
Yeah.
And then they posted it. And then they're like, oh, best quote ever. And then I call the shop and I'm like, that ration's overcooked. Because I'm obsessed about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. What do you remember most about your childhood and upbringing?
There's a lot. There's a lot. I was a normal black child. Mm-hmm. I grew up, in Makaya when I was very young. And then I moved to Sunnyside. I was about grade two, grade three.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there for about 2 years. Before we moved to Madrid,
mm-hmm.
Around grade three, grade four, and then I spent most of my life there, right? And then in terms of the things which I remember today, right? It's I never forget little things like when my mother said, "You're smart." It's some people might think that is a small thing, but that's a very important thing to tell a child, mm-hmm. because those are the things I held on to as I grew up. There was times you go through challenges, things are not going well, but you remember my mom said,
wow,
I was smart. So I then like you always try that. To make her proud.
You get the validation from home.
From home.
I like that anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And then in terms of quarters, there was a time my mom, you know those the goodie bag would come with bologna cheese.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
And then the moment that comes, my mom would buy a sauce bag. I think the young kids don't even remember this. Yeah. You'd have that bread, you have to put in the machine, then you'd go cut it. when my mom bought that goodie bag, we wouldn't cut it anymore. So we'd literally just take it, go back with it while it's still hot, cut it up, make quarters the whole time.
Oh, so yeah. You did make quarters at home?
Forever, like the longest time. The when we grew up, there was a time we stayed, there was always people at home, you know, my black family. So there's going to be myself, my sisters, and then there'd also be cousins. You know what, black families coming from the Makaz, someone's always coming up, you know, always assist. So at home it was always full. I remember there was a time I was the king of potatoes. My younger sister used to love it. She used to say I make the worst chips because my chips were thick. When I got into the quota business, they were like, "That is makes the best chips because their chips are thick." So starting from a young age,
now, sister, eh?
I love it about that. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Before you got into this business, yes. Right? What were your dreams? Like, what did you want to become?
I think we're all going through the Wall Street phase.
Yeah.
Where like when I grew up, I just want to be an investor. I wanna be a hedge fund manager. I wanna be a portfolio. You know?
Really?
So yeah.
So you're good with finance.
But I studied economics and econometrics. Mm. Yeah, so that's the direction I was looking at taking when I was young.
Okay, so from my understanding, you didn't come from a food background, right?
Not at all.
So what drew you to this space to say, actually, this is what I want to do?
Look, I think it comes back from the time I was young. So when we're young, because like I was saying, we're many at home. So what my mom ended up doing, she realized it's the easiest thing that works. She would just always make sure that at home we had bread and we had a bag of potatoes. Mm. And then that way she'd know if we'd come back from school, we'd just be able to make ourselves some chips, and then she wouldn't have to worry about us when we, like, what do we do when we come back from school? So we literally made chips almost most of my life when we come back from school, right? We could peel a peel so thin with a knife. That's how many times we did it. So, but how we actually got into the business, I was working Procter & Gamble at the time.
Yeah.
And then when I was in varsity, I did a couple of businesses, went to UJ. I remember at UJ, we were selling textbooks. Really? We're involved in this selling of textbooks, got into selling screen protectors and a bunch of other small businesses. So when I started working, it was a meeting I had with one of my managers, directors. And when he spoke to me that time, he was speaking about something unrelated. But to me, on my way back, it related to this one thing.
Mm.
What he said to me was, where you are right now, you are in such a great position. You are young, you are well qualified, and you're working at one of the biggest companies in the world.
Mm.
The world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want to do. I remember on my way back home, that hit me. I was like, If I'm in the best place possible right now and I can do whatever I want to do, it means I can sacrifice 1 year. So I took that decision. It was January. I took that decision to sacrifice exactly 1 year. It was not be exactly 1 year to go into business. If it didn't work, I was going to go back to work. I was never going to consider business again, and I was going to be the best employee ever. And I was just going to concentrate on my corporate career. So I gave that 1 year. And I remember, funny enough, in that 1 year, I once called my wife. At the time, we're not married. And then I was like, love, I think I must go back to work, because it got very tricky in that year.
You know, I like what you're saying, because I relate a lot to that. And I'm a firm advocate about risk taking.
Yeah.
I normally always say that there is no growth that will come to you if you don't take risk. Obviously, calculated risk.
Yes.
So I like what you're saying, because it proves that what I've been advocating, it is true.
Yes.
So, but now, tell me, when did it now click to you to say, okay, now I can turn this humble gutter into a serious business now?
When I was growing up, it was always a problem I had. Most of my older teenagers, I was in Midrand.
Mm.
We struggled with getting a good quota. I'd have to, if I was visiting one of my cousins, I'd be able to get a great quota. In Midrand, I hated it. Could not get a good quota anyway. I remember when I got to UJ, I was looking for quotas. I went to UP. I would look for quotas when I was studying also there. And then I remember when I was at work, the company was called Filthy Mustache.
Mm.
They had a trailer outside our office. Would come like once a week, and then I thought, wow, actually it's so nice doing the whole thing of actually selling food, right? And then I recently, I think a year before, I'd found a beautiful quota place. It was called the Noxious Quota Winnie's Tuck Shop. I was like, their quotas were phenomenal. They were great.
Amazing.
So the moment I saw these guys selling the whole food thing, and then remembering how I just had at the time the quota, that I was like, this has to be like the best quota ever. And then I was like, let me do this. Because I was passionate. I've been doing quotas my whole life. I love this.
Mm.
Let me with an influence. They did influence me. They influenced me. And then I was like, okay, let me go back into this. And then I took a decision. I bought two trailers. I remember my mom, and I bought two trailers. My mom was like, my mom cried for one. She cried. She was like, have you lost your mind?
Oh.
You're leaving work. Mm. You're working well. You're leaving work to go and sell on the street.
You know what I like about what you just said?
Yeah.
You mentioned right now that your cousin would say, I don't know where to get the best quarters.
Yeah.
and you paid attention to that.
No, it also myself. I was just like, I didn't know where to get grateful.
And I think that's where good business ideas come from, paying attention to what's missing in the market, what you would also like to have.
Yeah.
And I just like that seed. So now you bought two trailers.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to operate. When did now that moment hit you to say, okay, actually, my business is doing well. Now it's time to take the leap of faith and now go into the mall spaces. What?
The mall space was a funny one. It was always the plan.
Yeah.
I would have never left. I was working. The plan was not very, if we didn't have a big dream about it. So the plan was always to literally, we believe that Kota is the greatest product we have in the country. We wanted to expand it fully within the country. And then we also wanted to expand it, hopefully, out of the country.
Nice.
That was the big dream when we didn't know what we were doing. But once we got in, it got more technical.
Oh.
I remember when we got there, there was a time there's so many ups and downs, and then you start to become a bit fearful. You start to say, I don't think this is going to work. My wife laughs at me. So there was a time, we first wanted to go in there 2020. We decided late 2019 that we're going to go in. 2020, COVID came. We are so thankful we had not gone in yet. Because had we gone in at that time with the COVID, with the pausing of customers and everything, as a business, we would have collapsed. So luckily, the time we decided that we're going to go into the space, luckily, we hadn't. And then we probably were banned by maybe like 2 months, 3 months, because we're already looking at which centers. We've been talking to Campus Square already, calling them up. At the time, I think Bram was our biggest target. We'd already been talking to them. So that was huge. And then COVID came, and thereafter we slowed that down, and then we had the recovery period. And then I remember, so my wife never forgets this, right? So I think it was 2022, and then what my wife is like, I think we can go back into malls now. And then the time I had the fear, and I was like, ish, because the whole COVID thing was not fully over. It's like, okay, what's the economy going to do now? There's so many challenges. Russian war, picking up petrol, interest of price. Everything is just so uncertain. I remember that time, my wife never forgets. I was saying, you know what? I think now we're going to buy 10 trailers.
You know,
my wife was like, why not buying 10 trailers? We're going into the mall.
there's something I'm admiring here. Listening to you speak right now. You mention your wife a lot to say, my wife this, my wife that. And it's so amazing to see. And we had an episode with Ubongo Musama Katini, right?
Yes.
He mentioned that, you know, we give little credit to the people that are behind us and that pushes us to excel in our roles.
Yes.
And you brought your wife to the studio today. So I want you to give her props. What would you like to say to her? You know, so that people can understand that behind every successful man, there is a pillar of strength there.
Yes.
What would you like to say to your wife?
I'd like to say what I said at our wedding, which was thank you. I'm not certain if any other woman would have stuck around what we went through just in this whole period. There were literally moments where we hadn't paid our rental. The landlord would switch off our water, switch off our electricity. We even made a joke. They first switched off our water. And then we were like, these ones don't understand. We can just go home and fetch the bucket. When they switched off the electricity, there was no Wi-Fi and it was stressful in the house, right? I remember that's the point where I asked her and I said, love, I think let me go back to work. Because I was like, this is difficult. We sold a car where we just were selling. We survival was a mess, you know.
Wow.
And then she said, we are staying. We're continuing doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's truly been, I don't want to say my pillar, but maybe more like everything.
No, I am doing this because I want people to see that you don't just find something shining, you know, you build that thing, you know, you build that person for them to become what the world sees today.
And you know, it's the funniest thing. And I always say this, I always say, I remember when we just got together, what I said to her. At the time, I was literally, I'd given up so much to start this business that I was just like, fully into it. I remember we got together a few months in, and then I sat down with her, and then I was like, at the time, I'd come back home after 12 every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be out in the morning, and I'd say, love, I'm going to do this for the next few years. Maybe it's going to take me 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It might take me another 10 years above that. I think it's better you decide right now. Are you going to be able to live such a life? When you really love someone, and then you realize that, wow, this person's really amazing. You get to a point where you realize that. I remember I just watched another movie about a pianist. I forgot what the guy was doing. And then you begin to realize that one of the things are not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do, let's discuss this now. It's either I'm going to have to sacrifice this or I'm going to end up hating you.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing, this is what I want to do. This is what I love this. I'm passionate about this. I want to see this through, you know, so it's going to be difficult. Do you think you can live with that? And the worst thing I found was she was too ready. She was too ready. Even when I was like, whoa, wow. I'm getting out. And she was like, hey, my guy, we're staying here. We're going nowhere.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And that's why I wanted you to take that moment to speak about the person that's behind this success. And that is really amazing. I'm inspired by that. You know, now I want to understand now, you know, like I said, to say I grew up in the township, right?
Yes.
And in every corner in the township, there's a quarter joint, you know, and as a quarter lover, I am very picky about where I am getting my quarter.
Yes.
Right? What makes Nene stand out from all these other quarter joints that are there?
I think what makes Nene stand out is the fact that we really are truly purely trying to create a product which while we're not really looking to compete with other quarter brands.
Mm.
But we're hoping to complement each other.
Nice.
Because we're in a fight not against quarters, we're in a fight for quarters, where we are saying, as Nene's opens up the space, it opens up the space for many quarter brands, right? So we want to open up the space. And whenever we see other quarter brands coming in that are great, doing great, we are happy because we're like, okay, as we are pushing, other people are pushing, and we're just pushing this product forward, which we believe is a product as a country that will be able to really take beyond the country. And I believe it's going to be a product that as a country can, it's going to be able to even help in terms of tourism, bringing people in, helping the world talk about South Africa when they talk about food. We talk of pizzas, we talk of burgers, what do we talk about in the world, which is South African, in terms of food? We have to enter that space. Mm-hmm. And we believe that Quota is truly the right vehicle for that. Yeah.
I like what you just said, that we often talk about burgers, pizzas, and this is one of our own.
Yes.
This originates here.
Yeah.
So with this, we can really fly our flag really high. So tell me, how do you maintain or keep the originality of Quota while evolving in these times and making sure that you stay competitive? But how do you keep that originality?
It's understanding the basic principle.
Mm.
I believe the base of a quarta is bread, chips. So be creative, but do not overly quarta loaf. Do not overly break it. Play around with it. We also play around with it as much as we can. Mm. Go for quality.
Nice.
Go for quality. Quality, taste. Go to as many places as possible. Understand the flavors of it without breaking what it is. You must have respect. I think that's have respect for the product. Once you respect the product, you don't want to destroy it.
Mm.
You want to evolve it. So you're always cautious as to where do you touch and where do you know, because you want it to stay traditional with that growth element into just improving it. Yeah.
And I think if you go for quality, people will pay
for
what it's worth.
I think we have some of the best customers ever. We do.
we
do. One of the customers came to me recently. He's like, Nenez, we have been buying this product since about since way before, even before COVID.
Mm.
And he's like, I know it gets difficult. And I don't know. It just came out of nowhere. He's like, I know it sometimes gets difficult. I know sometimes people may have complaints about price, about this or that. He's like, my guy, please don't change the quality. Us who love the product, we will always support you. That was the most beautiful thing ever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've taken something so local and you turned it into a proper fast food chain. Now, if there's someone watching right now, right?
Yes.
Who feels stuck and they just got started into this business, what advice would you give to that person?
The advice I would give to them is just keep going.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going without enough information. Just keep, love what you're doing. Love the customer. Understand, set yourself a long-term target.
Mm.
Because if that target is short, you're going to think you're failing.
Mm.
Set yourself a long-term target and then keep pushing. And then it's going to work out. Everything works out in time. As long as you love it and you give your heart to it.
Consistency.
Consistent. Just keep doing it.
Wow. So I read an article, right? And in an article, you said you are still very hands-on in your business. Is that your key secret to your success?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a moment.
Yeah.
There was a moment where we sort of had many people doing certain tasks. And then I started to realize the fact that I was so far away from the customer.
Mm.
I was starting to lose touch. I didn't know whether there was a problem. I didn't know my customer anymore. And because I didn't know my customer, I didn't know what I had to do.
Mm.
You know, because you, when you look at their faces, when they come into the store, when you spend those moments with them, you see their faces, they tell you their stories, you understand who your customer is, you understand what they want, where their stories are.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to create and maintain a level of consistency, which is able to help them. There's a customer of ours in Kiriwe, so he'd come to Midrand, and then we're still like trailers. Mm-hmm. And then he'd come there, like, Nenes, hey, you guys sell the best quarters, man. But set up, my guy. Set up. Set up, my guy.
Set up.
So it just comes to say, okay, we have to keep growing. You understand? But what their complaints are. You have to be close to them. Otherwise, you won't know. If you're too far, you won't be in touch with their needs.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that. Know exactly what the customer needs.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that when you start a business,
yes,
there's a lot of sacrifices that all challenges that you face along the way. What sacrifices and risks you had to take to build this business to where it is today?
Everything.
Everything. I like that. Sure.
Yeah, whatever price you're willing to pay, you will pay more.
Really?
But yeah, whatever the price you're ready to pay, the price you will pay will be more. So you have to be ready for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I sold a car. I lost friends. I that was the time I even stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sacrificed everything. The people still hate me today because it was their weddings and maybe I couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. There was a time I was known as the one day man. If whether it's a wedding, it's a funeral, I come in right in the morning.
Wow.
That afternoon, I'm leaving.
Yeah, things.
I'm always busy, and I always have to be there. So I have to sacrifice whatever I need to. There was a time when I would drive. I'd be so tired. One time the car skid off the road. Right, and then I remember my wife came to me and she said, we can't do this anymore. Can't do this anymore. This thing of opening for so long, you're tired, you leave in the morning, you come back late. I'm going to lose you.
Mm.
And I told her that I love you, but this is what this requires. And because if I stop doing this, then are you saying I should give up on this? And there was no sacrifice worth not sacrificing.
Those with ears will hear. Those with ears will hear. You mentioned that you studied economics, right?
Yeah.
Has that qualification helped you in any ways?
Some people might say it has, but it really has. Education is always good because it shapes your way of thinking.
Mm.
It also allows you to the people you spend time with, they shape your way of thinking, and it shapes your way of thinking, and yeah, it does.
I like that. So education is important.
Education is important.
You
don't have to really go to a classroom to find education, but learn.
Exactly, because that's where I was going to say, would you say that you need to be educated to run a business to succeed in life? Do you really need education?
You don't need what people call education, which is going to the classroom. You need the principles of education. The principles of education are that you must read, you must have consistent improvement and consistent learning. And you must always have people that you can learn from. You must have teachers, mentors.
Yes,
have those people around you. Because without those principles apply in everything. And the other thing I also say with education, which is very important, it teaches you the fact that in order for you to start working, you had to be in school for maybe 15 years, long term. And you must also be willing, as education teaches you, you must be willing to do things even if you're not being paid for them. Because you pay the school to teach you. So that one day, so now, because we have so many people now who are always like, I want to get paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not to realize that the greatest achievements actually require you to do something for a sustained amount of time, not for the money. And the rewards come later. Soccer players, they play soccer from the time they are like, how old? They're playing. Are they getting paid for it? No.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians, they're singing from the time they're kids for years before they actually get there. Right? So you have to find something you love, and you must do it for more than just the money. Even when, like I remember, like in business, you're the last guy paid. There's many times we are not paid. So are you going to stop? You can't stop. So it mustn't be a short-term goal. It must be a long-term goal. And then you must be able to do it even if you're not being paid.
Wow. If you're doing it right, surely money will find you.
Money will find you.
People will see the quality of what you are delivering.
Yes.
So now, were there ever people that doubted your business idea to say, when's on, Maral?
Too many.
Really? Take me through that. How do you deal with the doubt?
My mom cried, understandably, because I was leaving a good job to take a risk. There was people who'd come and sometimes go to my mom and say, hey, man, what's your child doing wasting his time on the road there? My mom hated it. What are you doing letting your child waste his time on the road? Go tell him to get a job.
Wow. Right?
There was a saying of people would come through our shop. And then they'd be like, hey, man, you guys don't know business, man. See, they're selling these quarters, man. Taisani papa. You know, there was a lot of doubters. There was more doubters than people believed it was worth. For good reason, though.
Mm.
For good reason. Because to believe something can work, you must have seen it work. I think I always say, sometimes in our communities, one of the biggest problems we have is we don't personally know enough people who've achieved. Right? So, because we don't know enough people who've achieved, we actually don't know what achievement looks like. And so even when we are winning, we don't know we are winning because we've never seen those who've won in the process. We've only seen what we believe it is. And sometimes that's why we end up quitting when we're on the right track, because we think we don't look like that guy. But if you had the moment to see their journey, you'd realize this is what the journey actually looks like.
You just touched on something really deep here. You know, I've once had this debate with a friend to say, I'm going to talk about the township a bit, because that's where I grew up. Every kid in the township, once they find a job or they succeed, the first thing they want to do, they want to get out of the township.
Yeah.
Do you think that is the problem? Do you think all our role models are achieving and getting out of the township instead of us being there and trying to teach and show them the blueprint? Do you think that that is a problem as well?
That's a big problem. That's a very big problem. Because the problem is, let's say, for example, if the guys would do well, if they stayed, right, it means they'd be able to invest back into those economies. And then those economies would not be what they look like today.
No.
And also those kids would have role models that they'll be learning from. But now if everyone's moving out, they don't have role models to learn from. The only thing they learn from them is when they come back on the weekend to drink.
And I hate that.
You know, yeah. Mm. So if they stayed, we would have economies that actually, small economies that grow.
Mm.
We wouldn't even need the government to grow those places. Mm. Because like if somebody stays and they have a little bit more money, like sometimes a person will be like, "Ish, man, I hate this. That people are throwing trash in front of my." It's got a little bit. It doesn't mind just paying someone to go get rid of it. If somebody put a big dustbin there, just so no one's busy throwing trash in front of my place, and those economies would grow. It's almost like if as a country in South Africa, if we educate some of our greatest minds, and they keep leaving the country,
it doesn't benefit us.
Doesn't
at all.
Benefit the country. So you need the people to stay here.
Wow. Now, let's respond back to the people that once doubted you. How many shops do you have now currently?
Oof, I think now we're sitting on 6 or 7, and
wow.
And next year we're looking to. I think we've done this long enough. I think now we are comfortable and we are ready to fully expand.
Wow, and how big is your team?
Our team, wow, we're by a lot. I think we're about 30 something.
Wow.
Yeah, but that is something.
I think that's a
decent team, actually. Great people.
I think that's a fair answer to everyone that doubted the vision.
Yeah.
That is really a fair answer. No, well done.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we are growing this local brand.
Yeah.
I really love it. Now, there's a topic that I personally want to give a platform because I feel like we don't get to speak about what I want to ask you right now. And I took it upon myself to make it a mission to say, I will ask this question to every guest that comes on the show because I want people to see behind the curtain and understand what it means to be a leader, an entrepreneur, business owner. You know, there's something that we don't really talk about too much, and which is the mental cost or personal cost that comes with being a leader, being a business owner, being an entrepreneur. So I want to know from you, what has leading this business demanded from you mentally and emotionally?
Oof. Gosh, it demands a lot.
Mm.
It changes who you are.
Mm.
You sometimes learn that you become an enemy to society in that position. To be a leader puts you in a place to be hated, disliked. Mm. And but even in that place, you have to still make the right decisions.
Mm.
And you have to grow. So what do I mean when I say that? It's to be a leader, you're going to have a team that you're going to do your best to bring everyone along with, get the best out of everyone. And then you're going to learn the fact that there's certain people who do not want to be brought along. There's certain people who do not want to grow, right? But even at that stage, even they say you have to let go of someone. No matter how many chances you gave them, you are wrong. When you make sometimes certain growth decisions, which some people might believe are not good for everyone. Everyone's waiting for you to fail. When you teach, people don't want to be taught. And what do they revert to disliking the teacher? You also, when you're a leader, you can't make everyone happy.
Mm.
Even in terms of the customers, right? Certain customers are gonna come and say, "This is the position we want the brand to take. This is, others come and say they want a different position. But there comes times where leaders must choose the path and stick with it. And there will be many people who will not like the path they chose. So you must be able to, but also as a leader, you must be open. Listen. The answers are found in people. Listen, but choose a place. Love the people you work with. Understand that you can't bring everyone all the way forward. There are people you'll be able to bring and they will be able to drink. Others you will bring and you will not be able to force them to drink. Some of those will even be in your own family. Some of those will be people close to you. Some of them will be friends. And then to be a leader is like having a target on your back, which you must learn to carry every day. But the only thing which I believe is freeing end of the day, treat people well, be good to people, make decisions that you'll be proud of, whether they worked out or whether they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you succeed, whether you fail, will you love the person you are in the process?
Mm.
And that's, I think that's the most important thing.
Where do you see this business in the next 5 years?
5 years, I see us fully established nationally.
Mm.
Yeah, so do I see us fully established nationally, and then looking at expanding hopefully outside.
Mm. Are you also looking at like franchising?
We're looking at franchising. Getting already opened up for franchising. We already have franchisees.
Oh.
Yeah, our store in Kempton Park, for example, is a franchisee. It's the opened late last year.
Mm.
So it's, yeah, there's other stores, other people that we're currently talking to right now who are looking to open stores. We're in discussion with them, just seeing if we're going to be able to meet each other fully just to get those stores open, because the demand is quite high.
Wow.
In Cape Town, they're demanding us like crazy.
I think every business person would like to hear that.
So or being called everywhere, and then it's also just looking at what is the best decision for the business moving forward.
I love this. I've seen a lot of content creators reviewing your food, and I haven't seen any bad review.
Yeah.
Do you see that as validation, or it's more also pressure to keep doing good?
It's both. It's validation, and when we're so helpful to them, but it's also pressure to keep doing more, because as we grow as a brand, there's many people who are trying to look at what you're doing, and they're just trying to replicate exactly what you're doing. So you must be consistently pushing forward, improving. When people think you've improved, improve further. And also you must understand something important about people, especially when you're a small business. When you're big, maybe your market is already endless. But especially when you're growing, you must be able to retain your core customers. So which means you must be able to grow with them. You can't give them the same taste for 30, 50 years. You must be able to feed their palate something and then keep feeding their palate. They must even be surprised at all. And I never knew you could improve on improved.
Yeah, that's nice. Are there any products that you're working on besides Ikota?
Yeah, products that we're working on releasing right now.
Mm.
So we're going to be releasing a slice.
Mm.
Yeah, we're releasing the big bus. People have been saying release the big bus for so long, and I've been like, I'm not releasing the big bus. I'm finally like, okay, I'm gonna release the big bus.
What is the big bus?
Yeah, the big bus. Well, I guess it is a quarter, but it's the big bus. It's the big loaf.
Okay,
I bring that for you. You're feeding your whole family and the neighbor.
Yeah. I told you off camera to say, your quarters are a knockout.
They're a knockout, yeah.
Like, once I have nenes, I am done for the day. So I'm quite excited to see what a big bus would do. But I'm assuming that's for the whole family.
It's for the whole family. It's for a group of friends. It's for togetherness.
Mm-hmm.
People eat together, friends, family, and then they just bond over that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone digs in, and it's beautiful. We've been experimenting with it to a couple of our customers, and one of the most amazing things was seeing everyone smiling as they ate it,
mm-hmm.
fighting over the meat, just fighting over the chip. Yeah, and then there's a family bonding. And then the other thing we do is that I'm still continuing. We've got a recruitment company, Color Red Recruitment. So we work together with my wife still. And then so we're working more of that. We're looking on moving the recruitment company more from recruitment, also adding making it more technological, mm-hmm. using AI just to grow it. And so we're also working on that. So just those are that's where I am right now.
Really big moves. And I just like the fact that you have your partner in crime.
Yeah.
And I can only wish you guys the best. There's a lot we can expect from you guys, clearly. Now, in terms of like feedbacks from your customers, how well do you take those, especially critiques?
It's critiques painful to hear. Mostly valid. So mostly valid. So you must always be looking at what they are complaining about, and then you must be able to try and change that, improve. You can't change everything, because sometimes the complaint goes back to some people that are just not happy with the course you might be going. Mm-hmm. But you so listen to them, because they are the ones that direct the business. They tell you when you are being lost, when you might be moving the wrong way, and then so follow them, appreciate them. Those are some of the most loyal customers. Because when they put their complaint there, it means they love the product. There's just something they're not happy about, but they want to see you succeed. So listen to them.
So you're not looking at critique negatively.
No.
Feed from it, grow from it.
You have to, because once you view it as negative, then you're just not trying to push it away. And then you lose the element of learning from it. There are sometimes, like I remember a few years ago, like it can become really abusive.
Oh yeah.
You know
it comes back to what you said, that you cannot make everyone happy at the end of the day, but we try. So we have a special segment on the show. It's called a masterclass, right? So this is where every guest on the show, they get to speak about anything. Yeah. It can be an idea that you think a lot of people need to hear. It can be an advice. It can be a teaching that you want to give. So right now, I'm just going to throw the floor to you to say, what would you like to share with us on today's masterclass?
I think what I'd like to share now is something I've always known, but it's popping up because I was talking to someone about it. It's to say, what they say is, most people who've done anything, if you ask them if they'll do it again, most of them would say no, because we know too much. And in knowing too much means that you know the risks and just how difficult it will be. I believe that too many people, before they do something, they spend so much time trying to know as much about what they want to do, trying to do it perfectly. And should they do that, they will end up like the ones who've done it, realizing that it is very difficult. The most important thing that one should do is to start. Fix the problems as you go along. Success is not the destination. It is the journey of growing that you go through it while you solve some of those challenges. Do not waste your time trying to solve the challenges before you are in the game. Go in. Start. Fail. Continue. Learn. Realize why you failed. Continue again. Grow. Talk to people who've done it. Because you, as much as the people who've done it, sometimes will be able to, you don't have to go through every single problem yourself. Sometimes people are able to pull you across the river. Learn from them. I've had some great mentors able to teach you some great things. So the greatest message that I would like to tell anyone listening is start. Do not worry about the business plan. Do not worry about is your idea perfect. You will learn it. You will realize, because no matter how much time you spend trying, you'll realize everything you thought was is not once you start. So start. Have a good relationship with your customers. Allow them to control your growth. And it's the only thing that you must know is that the end goal. Do not make it short. For if it is short, you will think you failed, but the target was just brought down. Make it long. Give it at least 10 years. 10 years seems long for most people. But if I were to tell someone who's 25 now that, my guy, when you're 35, you're going to be rich. They would say that if a rich 35-year-old is a young guy with money. But you tell someone who's 25, like, my guy, sacrifice his next 10 years. They're like, yeah, 10 years is long. It's like, no. Understand that the final point. Do not stress too much about the in-between. Allow the wave to flow with you. But start. Start imperfect. Grow imperfectly. Find your perfect.
Oh, that was beautiful. I think my key takeaway on this masterclass with you is that start.
Start.
We worry so much about being perfect. I've been a victim of that. I mean, just with this podcast on its own, I've never, interviewed people like how I am right now. And I had to battle with myself to say, do I start? Do I worry that I am not good, or do I sharpen my craft as I go?
Yes.
And I am glad that I started. So I resonate a lot with what you're saying right now. And that's why I'm saying that's my big takeaway. And I hope our listeners are hearing this and they do implement whatever idea that they have and they want to implement. So, we have a tradition here on the show, right, where each guest that comes in on the show leaves behind a legacy note. Yes. This is something from the heart. Yes. This is something that you want to pass down to the next generation. It can be an advice, a message to the future leaders, future business owners. And what we're going to do with these legacy notes is that we're going to compile them into a book. So it will be a collection of wisdom from leaders like yourself to the next generation.
I'm always surprised when people call me a leader, by the way.
Which you are. There's a lot of people that are feeding their families from the idea that you had. Do you understand? And now people are able to take care of their whole family. So you are a leader. They look up to you, So Anjay, whenever you're ready, you can drop your note into the box.
Hopefully it helps someone one day.
It will. This is a special moment for me, because this is what I believe that legacy is. So your words and this conversation will definitely live beyond this episode, and someone will cherish what we just did here. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Before I let you go, right, there's a quick game that I want to play with you. And the rule of this game is that you don't have to think much.
Okay.
You just give me an answer as fast as you can. You don't have to think much about it. You ready? So one township meal that you'll never get tired of.
Kota.
I should have known that. A book or a movie that changed your mindset?
The Secret.
One business mistake that turned out to be a blessing?
Starting the Kota business.
Your go-to song when you need motivation?
I Was Here, Beyonce.
Wow. If you could put up billboards in every township, what would it say?
Just do it.
I like that. Anjay, thank you so much for coming to the show, for being open, for sharing your knowledge with us, for inspiring us. And I wish you growth and success in your business. And to you, our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. If there's something that resonated with you on this episode, please do like, share, comment, and don't forget to subscribe. This is Success Unscripted with Peter Manjad. Anye. Ngiyabonga nkosi.
Ngibonga mina.